This morning, it is a great honor for me to be invited back to share time with you. And thank you for allowing me to ponder out loud some of the life's big questions. Like many people, when I was younger, I was busy going to school, working at the job, taking the steps of life in front of me. Having so many other things on my mind, I never thought about the stages of life I was progressing through. When we were children, anyone who was not in the playpen with us looked kind of old. When I first came to the U.S., I was 21. I looked 16, fresh out of my parents' home. For a long time, I was the youngest of any group I hung out with. When I turned 50, I had given up parties from coast to coast. It took me a whole year to celebrate, and I declared that I have no more apologies to give, and I have a license to speak my truth as a woman. When I turned 60, a voice in me urged me to give back. This was a very intuitive and spiritual journey that I realized that I have arrived at a certain point in my life where I have lessons to teach the younger people. I turned 73 this year. The aging process has become more prominent in my mind. When I turned 50, the very next day, AARP flyers started to appear in my mailbox. I remember I was really upset because I didn't like being seen as a senior citizen so soon. Years ago, visiting my cousin in Shanghai, she held my arms when we walked across the street. I remember yelling at her to stop treating me as an old lady, although I'm sure she was just showing her respect since I am 10 years older than she is. And I wonder where I have learned to view aging in such a negative light. Of course, different countries have different views on age. In Asia, in general, a person with a bit of gray hair often gets more respect, and employers would seldom promote someone younger before someone older. But this trend is changing now since the world is so global. Traditionally, Asian countries come from thousands of years of Confucius teaching. Confucianism stresses filial piety, which encourages the younger generation to treat their elders with respect, obedience, and care. Western countries tend to be youth-oriented. This thinking came from the Protestant value that tied the individual's worth to their ability to work and be active member of the society. So when a person ages, their worth is seen as diminishing. Plus, the U.S. culture tends to be more individualistic. People take pride in their independence. Many elders do not want to rely on the younger generation. The first time I read about an elderly person who lay dead in their apartments for days before he or she was found, I could not understand it. These different cultural points of view have a different impact on the way we view aging and how we treat the aged. For over 30 years, I worked to develop awareness around power dynamics based on the social identities and to create equality. One of these identities is age. For a long time, baby boomers seems to be the dominant group that has the power to set rules in the society and control resources. Anyone who's outside that age range will be either too young or too old to have any power or voice. In other words, age bias can be against both older or younger groups. This morning, I'm going to focus on the older group, since I'm the older. Yes, I have joked about getting older. I use the term having a senior moment many times. I made fun of changes in my own body, you know, the one that all going south. Yeah, for a while, these jokes are lighthearted, but then it dawned on me that this is a part of self-loathing, just like my reaction to getting an AARP magazine or my cousin guiding me across the street. This insight led me to investigate how I feel about getting older. Our self-loathing often comes from fear. It can include fear of death, fear of losing community, fear of running out of money or time, fear of deteriorating health. And when this fear becomes a cultural pattern, holding biases against the aged, at the extremes turn into ageism. We have a lot of challenge to overcome. This requires us to reflect on the stages of our lives. To me, aging is a spiritual journey that we take to find out who we are and what lessons we need to learn in life and how to come to peace with the world. The purpose of a spiritual journey is rarely to find an answer, but rather it is a process of continuously asking questions, better questions. Whether we are aware or not, the day we were born, our spiritual journey has begun. Aging allows us to stay awake on this journey. Looking back on my life, I have gone through several significant events that taught me to pay attention to my life. At the time when these events happened, it was challenging to get through them. But now I feel I'm very lucky to have been dealt with such hands in life that taught me precious lessons that many others have neither the time nor the luxury to discover. Now I'm in my 70s. My discernment questions are more focusing on the bigger pictures in life. I'm asking questions like the title of Peggy Lee's song, "Is That All There Is?" Anybody remember that song? Okay. And we know we're in the same age range. And I also wonder why I'm here. Regardless whether we have a strong religious belief or not, I think sooner or later we will wrestle with these fundamental spiritual questions related to the big pictures in life. Who am I? What is the meaning of my life now? What do I value? What do I want now? And how am I connected to the sacred? We can explore these questions at any age, but according to so many socio and psychological research, some very specific reasons trigger an older person to explore more of his or her spirituality. The first reason is retirement. We might be slowing down or stepping off the career path. This age of life often comes with big change to our daily activities, the roles we play, and the way we see ourselves. Although it is often exciting and fulfilling time, it can also be scary. What do we do now? How do we face the societal and cultural attitude toward aging? So getting ready for retirement requires us to map out the plan for a new life. Many people are not ready just because they went to a nice retirement party and got a gold watch. We need to prepare to redefine ourselves. This is a spiritual question. The second reason is grieving losses. As we get older, we might have experienced more losses. The loss of loved one due to death, and illnesses such as dementia, Alzheimer's, or any medical condition that cause us to realize that they are no longer the same people anymore. So we are losing the relationship that's familiar to us that we all count on. As we age, we're also losing time that we could not get back. We might lose certain physical and mental capacities. We all grieve these losses differently. But having an anchor in our spirituality can help us get through this grief. The third reason is decreasing independence. As we age, we may lose a certain level of independence that we have taken pride in. Having to rely on others to help with parts of our daily lives make us feel embarrassed, worse yet, even self-loathing. Having a spiritual grounding can help us deal with this loss, let go of control, and make peace with the current reality. The fourth reason is the having more time on our hands. While we grieve for all the losses and learn to adapt the changes in our life, we can also treasure one of the gifts that of getting older is to, that we often have more time each day to ponder the mystery of life and take stock of our lives. We get to review our achievement as well as our failures, which will help us weave a tapestry of life stories and lessons. One major aspect of spirituality of aging is an opportunity to expand our worldview and wisdom that we can share with the world. The fifth reason is growing awareness of one's own mortality. Aging forces us to accept the impermanence of life and know that there is a beginning, a middle, and end. If we can accept our mortality, we can use the time we still have in this consciousness and compose the life we want and make an impact while we still can and leave something positive behind. As we contemplate how we create a more meaningful life, we might face some additional challenges. At 21, I flew thousands of miles over the ocean to come to this new land. For most of my adult life, I have fought hard to become who I am. Now, I won't even contemplate a move to Long Beach, which is just up the road, because just thinking about moving makes me very exhausted. I wonder if I have lost my courage. As I get older, I have established certain comfortable routines and patterns in my life that I find very difficult to change. I am set in my ways, but why not? I like my ways. But sometimes I wonder if I have missed the opportunity to learn something new. As we get older, life becomes more predictable, as if we have seen it before, and we think we have all the answers. Life went from unknown to known. This is when we run the risk of letting our lives become stale. They say you cannot teach an old dog new tricks. But why? Well, maybe because sometimes we have already decided that some new learnings are not even worth the energy. Personally, this is what happened when it comes to using technology. I don't understand enough how computer works. Hello. And I have managed to use them to survive, but anything new about computer technology, like right now we're talking about AI, you know, all that stuff, and just seem to be confusing and complicated. And to me, the world is moving at breathless speed that I am not only cannot keep up with, but also have no interest in trying to. The question is, am I wrong to reject new things? Knowledge and experience get us an authority and credibility. I like the possibility of moving into the sagehood. But just because I know a lot, I should not use my knowledge to boost my ego and shut the door for something I have never known before. Many of us older people are so proud of our lives' experience and knowledge that we are often too busy teaching and not spending enough time learning. We have no idea if our knowledge and wisdom will help to solve today's or tomorrow's problem. Buddhism teaches us the concept of impermanence. Impermanence is the opposite of certainty and known. At some point, we learn that not even our parents can be counted on for safety. We learn that there's no guarantee for safety, certainty, and answers. Buddha encourages us to hold things lightly, knowing that they will change or disappear the next moment. After I turned 70, I came face to face with the reality that I'm going to die someday. The first time I encountered this concept of impermanence, I cried uncontrollably. I panicked at the fact that I'm running out of time to live my life and do what I want to do. Suddenly, I'm not so sure of myself anymore. And I have always known that in my head, but my heart finally caught up with this indisputable truth. Of course, plenty has happened to make this a very uncertain time in the world right now. the pandemic, the wars, poverty, inflation, threat to democracy, deterioration of institution have destabilized our state of mind. This causes us insecurity, anxiety, and fear. And we wonder if there are enough money, food, health, healthcare, or goodwill in the face of increasing adversity. We cannot count on only yesterday's wisdom and life's lessons to carry us through the storms safely. As a student of Buddhism, I have learned that impermanence is not a new discovery. Nothing stays forever. Change is always constant. To practice Zen is to come back to ground zero, which is the nothingness, unknowing, and egoless place. By staying in the not knowing, we can be open to new learning and find new meaning in life. This way, we'll let go of control and fear, and life becomes freer. As we get older, we might have noticed time seem to go by fast. Sometimes I feel panicky, thinking that I'm running out of time. Mary Oliver's poem I shared this morning invites us to slow down and pay attention to the smallest thing, such as goldfinch singing contest. Birth and death are part of a whole cycle, lives. We are all parts of mystery that we do not have total control. All we have is the freedom to experience the present moment fully. Time didn't just rush by. This is just one example of how we can enter the realm of spirituality as we embark on the ultimate search for connection with the mystery of life. In closing, I'd like to read you a poem called "When I'm an Old Woman, I Shall Wear Purple" by Jenny Joseph. Some of you may remember this poem. She wrote this when she was still a young woman. Regardless of your age, hope you'll find some inspiration. When I'm an old woman, I shall wear purple with a red hat that doesn't go and it doesn't suit me. And I shall spend my pension on brandy and summer gloves and satin sandals and say we have no money for butter. I shall sit down on the pavement when I'm tired and gobble up samples in the shop and press alarm buttons and run my sticks along the railing and make up for the sobriety of my youth. I love that phrase. I shall go out in my slippers in the rain and pick flowers in other people's garden and learn to spit. You can wear terrible shirts and grow more fat and eat 3 pounds of sausage and a go or only bread and pickle for a week and hoard pens and pencils and beer mats and things in boxes. But now we must have clothes that keep us dry and pay our rent and not swear in the street and set a good example for children. We must have friends to dinner and read the papers. But maybe out of practice a little bit now, so people who know me are not too shocked when I suddenly am old and start to wear purple. Aging allows us to finally gain freedom by breaking out of social constraints. We can let our spirit be free and be ourselves to live our lives the way we want. The more we adopt this attitude, perhaps the more we can live fully, however long life gives us. Namaste, shalom, amen, blessed be.